attention, please.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast. Tune into The Drive 3 until 6 p.m. weekdays on the Sports Hub.
I love it. It's brilliant.
Do you know how I know football season is close? I get bombarded with fantasy football questions, league invites, and I constantly see Matthew Berry on my television here in the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn Studios. As the Carolina Panthers kick off preseason game number 2 tonight, I'd be willing to bet most fantasy drafts will be held over the next week or so. Devoted fans to the show probably already know this, but we're gaining new listeners each and every day, so I want to make this known. I can't stand fantasy football. I'll even go a step further. Fantasy sports made me dislike football altogether for a period of time. Desmond Johnson taking your calls as the producer of this show at 777-1600. We've got Aaron Gabriel hanging out in the control room too. Here's what I realized I like the most about fantasy football. This is what kept me coming back for about a decade or so. Drafting teams and creating funny team names. So while I'm going to sound like a Scrooge here on a Friday afternoon, Des, here's what I want. Throughout the segment, I just want you to interject funny team names that you could use this year. Funny fantasy football team names throughout the segment. Nothing more than that. Just funny team names that we can, if someone wants to create a fantasy football team name, they can go with. Something such as...
Baby Got Dak.
On Twitter, at SportsHubTriad, if you have good ideas as well. The reason I dislike fantasy football so much, it makes you watch football differently, right? Like, I was listening to Matthew Berry talk on television. It might have been last week or early this week. And he's telling me how great of a pick Saquon Barkley and Kyler Murray are. Despite the fact they play for terrible football teams. Pick Kyler Murray because the Cardinals are going to be behind and they're going to throw the football a ton. And there are people that watch football strictly through that lens.
All Barkley, all bite.
I find I enjoy football a lot more now than I did while I was playing fantasy football. It's kind of like watching Red Zone a little bit too much. It's just too much of the candy. It's too much sugar watching Red Zone hour after hour after hour. You need the meat and potatoes. You can't just have the sugar and the dessert at the end of the meal.
The fabulous baker boy.
That one not so great. Also, it's the biggest conflict of interest in sports. Have you ever thought of it this way? Imagine being a Carolina Panthers fan and having Drew Brees on your fantasy team. How do you justify it? How do you justify playing Drew Brees against the Panthers, watching the Panthers play the Saints? What do you hope for? Because if you have high stakes fantasy football games where you're either paying a lot of money or have to pay off a bet as a result of the fantasy team, what do you hope for more? That your Panthers win or that Drew Brees has a big game?
Turn your head and golf.
It's a good bounce back effort on your part. It really is. But no, I really just enjoyed it. Enjoyed drafting teams and creating funny team names. In fact, I just thought of a couple as you were going here. How do you feel about Bend It Like Beckham Jr.?
It's not bad. I like unsolicited Dak picks.
Deshaun of the Dead.
Saving Matt Ryan.
Whew. I gave you time to prepare this.
Yeah.
So
I'm loaded. Hot and Zeke.
Fantasy football, it's the most uninteresting thing that we can talk about here. And we constantly get that requested. Hey, can you give me fantasy football advice? I can't think of something I would care less talking about than your fantasy team, and I can't think of something that's more uninteresting for you, the audience, than me talking about who I have on my fantasy team. Newsflash. Nobody wants to hear about your fantasy team.
Lamar, Mr. Jackson, if you're nasty.
It's also Dave Clawson's 52nd birthday today. Happy birthday to Dave Clawson. This audio comes courtesy of Wake Forest football this morning out at Wake Fall Camp. Let's figure out how Coach Clawson is celebrating his 52nd.
I got up early, got a cup of coffee, had a breakfast sandwich. We had a good practice. I'll go have brunch with the team. I think I'll probably watch some film. And then we'll sit with the players and watch film. And then we'll have a special teams meeting. My daughter will come over tonight, and she'll have dinner with me in the cafeteria. And then we'll have meetings tonight, and a walkthrough, and I'll go home, and we'll get up and do it again tomorrow. And that's how I've spent my last 31 birthdays.
Very exciting. I actually can relate to Dave Clawson there. When I have a birthday, see, my birthday is not public consumption. So it could be today that I'm celebrating my birthday. You'll never know. Because I like being low-key. I don't have to do anything big. Like, Aaron, what's the most you've ever done for a birthday celebration as an adult? Past the age of 18 years old.
As an adult, I don't really celebrate my birthday. I do things for my mom because she had the most action on my birthday, I guess.
That's fair. Dez, do you do anything for your birthday?
Not as much. The older I get, the less the birthdays kind of are celebratory. I'll get some sort of date night with the missus. Her birthday is like a week or two before mine, so we kind of, in between the two birthdays, we'll go to like Arigato's or something, have a kid-free date night type thing, and that's usually the birthday.
Clawson also said it's the first time, or really that's how I spent my birthday the last 31 years or so. It leads me to ask, how was Dave Clawson spending his birthday at 20 and 21? Was Clawson doing it big in college? Up in New York? Or is it Pennsylvania that he went to college? Wake Forest still preparing for its opener against Utah State. We are 2 weeks away from Wake Forest's season opener against the Aggies at BB&T Field. It's still crazy to think that we're that close. It's also preseason game number 2 tonight for the Carolina Panthers facing the Buffalo Bills. But another thing that turned me off from fantasy football, I got phone calls from my brother time and time again. Say, Josh, it's a fantasy league with our family. You got to be in it. And I turned them away. I don't do fantasy football. I found that I enjoyed football more when I didn't have fantasy sports in my life. Dez, do you think we would have the same effect if we didn't fill out college basketball brackets? Your rooting interest, I think, is what spoils things for you. If you're watching football, you're rooting specifically for players, which means you're rooting for teams you wanted otherwise. If you didn't have that in your life, then you might just watch the game for the fun of football and enjoy the game a little bit more. Does the same apply for college basketball? Because I don't remember the last time I didn't fill out a college basketball bracket. I'm kind of scared, as much as I love March Madness, that I might enjoy March less if I don't fill it out.
I think you kind of hit it on the head there, because March Madness is condensed and usually over half of us are done by opening weekend. So then we go back to just watching.
But we all believe we're going to be the one that has the perfect bracket.
Right, exactly. And with fantasy football, it's a season long chore almost to keep up with these players, remember to take people off your bench, remembering bye weeks and
it's
stuff.
It's like folding laundry.
Yeah.
I hate it. I figured out all I enjoyed doing in a fantasy football season was drafting the players and coming up with funny team names. Give me one more.
Two girlies, one cup.
Coming up with names such as that. And then after the first week of the season, I'm done with it. It's tedious wanting to check your fantasy team, have to do that. And there's nothing I hate more than folding laundry. There's so many times where I just don't do it. Get yelled at as a result, being a slob. And, you know, sometimes you just hide the laundry basket and then do laundry again, and you found that you didn't even fold up the laundry the first time. I hate folding laundry, just like I hate checking my fantasy lineup and figuring out I got three players on a bye. Then you lose a game and you have your uncle, who you haven't heard from in years, talking trash to you, saying, ha ha, you didn't play your player this weekend, or you didn't change this guy from your bench to your starting role. What a clown you are. Suck it. That's awful. The Drive's brought to you in part by our friends at Twin Peaks Restaurant. Find them, Haynesville Boulevard in Winston-Salem. It's your local lodge, delicious beer, delicious food, cold beer, namely. I read that July was scientifically the warmest July in world history. So I can't think of a better thing to have to combat that than a cold 29-degree beer in a 22-ounce man-sized mug at Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views, a great sponsor of the program. We mentioned Dave Clawson celebrating his 52nd birthday. One of his former players is now Charlotte's head coach, that being Will Healy. Will Healy will be a guest on this show in 20 minutes. But can we do a blood pack to not fill out a bracket next year in the name of trying to enjoy March Madness more? I've been saying I'm going to do it. I've never followed through. I always caved like an addict. But I feel like if I have other people who are with me, I might be more able to do so. Would you be willing to go in on this?
Turn down for what?
I was legitimately asking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ask me again.
You really badly wanted to get turned down for what?
I really wanted to squeeze that in there.
Thank you for that. Blood pack. No March Madness brackets next year.
Ooh.
Just to see, are we going to enjoy the tournament more? We're going to watch the games regardless. Will we enjoy the games more not having to care if K-State beats Wyoming?
I don't know. Last year I only did two brackets.
Only?
Yeah, normally I
only
do like
one every year.
Nah, normally I do six, seven, or eight of them, and I'm in Yahoo and ESPN and different groups. Nah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't think it'd be hard for me to do it. So, all right, fine. No brackets next year.
I'll still tell you who I think's going to win, but I just won't give you every single team picking every single game in the bracket.
Now, if we do this and it sucks, then we can blame you for
That's
not
fine.
Doing the brackets.
That's fine. Cool. But if cool. It's like fantasy football, where not having it in my life made me enjoy football more, there's a situation where March Madness could be even better than what it is right now, if that's even possible. That possibility still arrives. Dez, let's hit the dismount on this segment the right way with the best team name you also have in your arsenal here.
Well, for FCC purposes, I can't give the best name.
Give me the best one that the FCC will allow for us to say.
Chronic Master Deflator.
Up next, the only thing I care about with the Panthers' second preseason game tonight. This is The Drive.
Come on! This is The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
So while the Carolina Panthers are playing a home game tonight against the Buffalo Bills in Charlotte, we go from one football team in the Queen City to another. The head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, Will Healy, now joins us, entering his first year with the 49er football program. How are you enjoying the Queen City, coach?
Oh, it's been incredible. It's been a lot of fun. My wife's extremely happy, which is the number one thing. But we're having a blast. We're going to take the team to the Panthers game tonight, and the Panthers organization has been awesome to us and very welcoming, so we're looking forward to cheering them on. I've transferred from the Titans to the Panthers now and got all the gear, and so we're ready to roll tonight.
All right, tell us what gear you're rocking with. You going with jerseys or no?
Well, my little guy, my five-year-old's got a jersey. But I'm just wearing a hat. I would like to wear some Charlotte gear as well, just to kind of show the two combined. So I've got a Charlotte shirt on and a Panthers hat.
It's It's a very important topic because you know there are some people who are anti-jersey people who know that there's a certain age where, hey, I'm not big into jerseys anymore. I maybe have two or three in my closet, Coach. Do you have any jerseys?
I put a Cam Newton jersey on today to tell the team. Actually, our athletic director told the team that we're going to the game, but I had the Cam jersey on and was doing the Superman right behind him. So I'm prepared for it. I don't fill it out quite like he does, but I do enjoy the jerseys. What I want to get to is I want to get one of those man rooms with all the jersey and the autographs and all that stuff. So I still enjoy the jersey time.
Will Healy, Charlotte 49ers head coach with us here on the Sports Hub in the Triad. You can follow him on Twitter at @coach_heels, LEALS on Twitter. You once upon a time played college football at Richmond for Dave Clawson, who is celebrating his 52nd birthday today in Winston-Salem. What's the best Dave Clawson story you can share with us?
I've got great ones. They're all really good. They all speak very highly of him. You know, first off, he was a guy who gave me an opportunity to play college football at the Division I level that nobody probably should have given me. I was not a great player, but had an unbelievable career at Richmond and really enjoyed my time there. I think he's an incredible football coach. I've got some good ones that where he's gotten on to some of my teammates that are really funny, but they're not on him. And actually, it's funny that my quarterback's coach in college that actually played for Coach Clawson at Fordham as well is on our staff here. So we're big Dave Clawson fans down here. We think a lot of him as a person and as a football coach. You know, I went and spent some time with him even when he was at Tennessee and had left us, you know, was offensive coordinator there. Coach Clawson is smart now. I mean, he doesn't have, you can't tell a whole lot of stories on him. It's not like he does anything wrong. He's just, I'm sure my little Oodawall accent and hillbilly ways was not necessarily what he was used to from Williams College, but, we developed a really strong relationship and he was really good to me.
What were the things at practice you did that irritated him?
I was a little bit of a jokester. And I think that every once in a while I irritated him. We did a skit night one time and I was actually Coach Clawson and I don't think he thought very strongly of my impersonation of him.
Do you still have that impersonation?
No, I'm not. Listen, when the guy's won as many games and done as good a job as he has, I don't need anybody not for me, so my Dave Clawson impersonations are not, they don't do him justice anymore.
There is a chance that he might be listening right now since we are here in the Triad. We were just celebrating his 52nd birthday. I can't think of a better 52nd birthday gift than Charlotte head coach Will Healy doing a Dave Clawson impression. I mean, I can't think of a better gift. Can you?
If it was good, I would do it. It's not good anymore. That's my problem. Back then, I thought it was good and funny and as I've gotten away from it, I'm like, I probably wasn't as funny or as good as I thought. I actually, since that time, I've always allowed our players to do a skit night once a year to get on to coaches because I wanted, you know, I did it as a player, and I felt like if I was going to be the one who did it as a player, then I would at least let our players do it to me. So our players have really good Will Healy impersonations, but my Dave Clawson impersonation is not very good.
Is it?
I used to get a lot of my nickname was Roy, which was rest of y'all, so that's how good of a player I was. And I used to get the Reallys a lot from them. You know, really? You know, Roy, really? I used to get that a lot, but it was all in good fun.
Is it true you used to get confused for the team manager?
I still get confused with the team manager. I got kicked out of the staff section at a home basketball game at Charlotte because they thought I was a student. So yeah, absolutely, that happens to me all the time. I think you know we had some scouts come through the other day, and I walked in the room and spent some time with them. And when the guy came out to the field, he was like, "Coach, I just want to apologize. I thought you were a manager or a student or something. I had no idea you were the head coach here." So I get it all the time. It's always a humbling experience, but I think it's really good for me. I enjoy it.
How mortified is the staffer at Halton Arena when he tries to move the head coach to the student section because he believes he's a student?
Listen, here's what I did. So I'm sitting there. It was a game over maybe Christmas break. I was by myself. I went and sat down and watched the game. The staffer was doing her job and said, "I'm sorry, no students are allowed to sit here." I got up. I walked away. And then one of my bosses saw me walking out and saw the interaction and said, "That's our head football coach. Make sure he has a chance to sit down there." I did not want to make her feel, like she should know who I am. I hadn't coached the game there, all that stuff. I'm good. But I didn't want to cause a scene, so I got up and I was going to go find a place in the student section. I thought that'd be good for me anyway.
How much of a compliment, though, is that they think you're that young? What does your wife think about it?
Well, the bad part about it is I look that young, but I've got, like, top 10 worst dad bods in Charlotte. So if I'm young, I should at least be in shape, and I'm not even in good shape. So, I still got enough gray hair in my beard where every once in a while I'll go a week or two without shaving and can finally grow a mustache. So I'm working on that right now.
It's Charlotte head coach Will Healy with us here. You can follow Charlotte football at Charlotte FTBL and Coach Healy at Coach_Heels on Twitter. This job can't be tougher than what you inherited at Austin Peay, can it?
No, I mean, it's a great job. I love this job. I think the ceiling for this job is so high. Number one, we already talked about it, but the city is unbelievable. And when your wife is happy, you're happy. We've got two little boys. We got a 4.5-year-old and a 6-month-old, and so raising them here has been a lot of fun. I think when your vision as a head football coach matches your administration's vision, then you're usually set up for success. I think the university is growing and continuing to try to find ways to market themselves where we're not a we're not an afterthought or a secret anymore. I mean, we're at 31,000 students. We're the second largest university in the state of North Carolina. And we just got to get the word out. So going to be a spokesperson, trying to get people on campus, develop relationships in the community, is a part of this job, just like it was the Austin Peay job. But the success that this program had last year is so different than what I inherited. And not to say anything bad about the players that were at Austin Peay, but the commitment level of these players that we've inherited has been really good. I think Brad Lambert and his staff did a great job of recruiting really good people, and these players have bought in. And there's some things we got to fix. We got to continue to add depth, which is, I'm sure, what a lot of coaches in the country are saying right now. We got to continue to be in some major recruiting battles and go beat some people that we're going to have to play on the field in recruiting, and continue to pump more money into facilities and add on to this facility, some things like that, but. As far as what type of job it is, it's an unbelievable job. I love it here.
What do you got for App State and Clemson this year?
I'm worried about beating Gardner Webb, and I know that's coach speak, but I've been so much on the FCS side.
You recognize the coach speak immediately. At least you would recognize.
Well, here's my deal. You got to think, for 15 years of my life, 15 straight years, I've been on the other side. Right, I've been the FCS school that's gone to play the FBS school, and it makes you a little bit more nervous when you know how excited those guys are going to be to play this game. And listen, I'm 13-21 as a head coach, so we just got to win game number one. That's what I'm worried about.
Is there a better chant, a better sports chant in America than Austin Peay's "Flies Open, Let's Go Pig"?
So here's the deal. When I took the job at Austin Peay, all right, we'd lost 20 games in a row and 38 out of the last 39. And I remember talking to our athletic director, Ryan Ivey, who's now the athletic director at Stephen F. Austin. And I said, there's three things right now, all right? I said, we're 0-11, okay? We have a chant that says, "Let's go Peay," all right? And we wear Russell apparel. I said, none of those three are very cool whenever I walk into a high school and meet a prospect. So I can't change 0-11 right now. I can just choose not to say "Let's go Peay." But the one thing I would like to change is let's get into Under Armour or Nike or Adidas or something like that. So I started screaming from the top of my lungs, let's go pee, at the year we went 8-1 versus FCS competition. I thought it was really cool. I did not think it was very cool when we were 0-11. That was kind of we were being mocked when they were singing it then.
Well, Coach, right down the way, right down 85 here in the Triad, we wish you the best of luck with the 49ers. Appreciate the visit.
Y'all come see us. Thanks a lot.
Got it. That's Will Healy, Charlotte football head coach, spending time with us on the Drive. A very likable guy and one of the youngest coaches in all of FBS at the age of 34 years old, hired to take over the 49ers. And he arrived at Austin Peay when they had this record losing streak. He was referring to it. The streak got as big as 29 games in a row that they lost before they ultimately won. But when they did, flies open. Let's go pee. Coming up, more evidence of an NFL train wreck you could see coming from miles away. Keep it here on the Drive.
Here we go. This is the Sports Hub. Come on. At AM 600, AM 920. Now back to the Drive with Josh Graham.
It was pretty cool. I was like, what's up, GOAT? As soon as I seen him. You know, Aaron Rodgers. What's up, GOAT? Greatest of all time. You know, there's a lot of GOATs out here, but you know, it's Aaron Rodgers, so I got to show my respect.
That's Lamar Jackson from yesterday, calling Aaron Rodgers a GOAT. And man, that touchdown Lamar Jackson had, I don't think there's any other quarterback in the NFL that could have done what he did at that speed, with that kind of shiftiness, breaking a tackle, moving around somebody else, hurdling someone at the goal line, and then scoring standing up for the Baltimore Ravens. We'll chat with Joe Person in about 5 minutes. He'll join us from Bank of America Stadium, talking Panthers preseason against the Buffalo Bills. But with Lamar, that is a quarterback I want so badly to do great. That's a quarterback I'm rooting for. I don't think he's quite there yet. I know they made the playoffs, and they did so in large part to him, due to him. That defense being number one in the NFL certainly doesn't hurt, but it's hard for me to really believe in Lamar Jackson at this point when I don't believe John Harbaugh does completely. I remember watching Lamar in action against Carolina in Charlotte, and they wanted to throw the ball down the field with him. They just wanted. Joe Flacco started the game, but then when Lamar came in, they weren't really testing the corners or the safeties. It was a lot of read option, a lot of RPOs, as they call it, run pass options. And that is to be expected with the rookie quarterback that has the skill set of Lamar. But his speed, I think, stigmatizes him a little bit. It isn't necessarily his Louisville days and the fact that he won a Heisman Trophy, because if you go back and watch what he did at Louisville, and I did because he was in the ACC, he was an excellent thrower of the football. He could stand in the pocket and deliver down the field. Did it time and time again. Now, you might not like the throwing motion that much, or at least back then, but he was efficient. And he's been efficient when he throws the ball in the NFL too. This number really took me back. This stat here from Warren Sharp, who does a lot of football analytics stuff. Lamar Jackson last year had a higher yards per passing attempt, and a better passer rating in his rookie season than Andrew Luck, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Derek Carr, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton. That's not Lamar Jackson running. That's Lamar Jackson as a passer. But I think some of it is on racial lines. Most of it has to do with his speed. He's stigmatized as just being a runner, that you can't necessarily trust to win you football games the way you can for even a Jared Goff or a Luck or a Wentz or a Carr, Foles, and Andy Dalton. And that stat suggests something differently. The AFC North, it's going to be a fascinating division. Maybe the most fascinating in the NFL. I'm not saying the best, but is Pittsburgh going to be better now that Antonio Brown's out of the locker room? Is Pittsburgh going to win that division again after Baltimore did so last season? Is Lamar going to be able to progress in the passing game? Is that defense going to take a step back now that C.J. Mosley is a New York Jet? Then you have the Cleveland Browns. Need I say more? Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Olivier Vernon, Freddie Kitchens saying interesting things in the media. That's a fun team in Cleveland. That's a fun division. Let's not completely sleep on Cincinnati either, but we just don't really know what to expect from somebody in the coaching community that hasn't gotten the chops yet, that doesn't have the respect that, say, Sean McVay had as a younger coach leaving from the Washington Redskins to become the head coach of the Rams. Zach Taylor, he was not calling the plays for the Rams, but he was the quarterback's coach in LA. So he leaves being a quarterback's coach to becoming a head coach in Cincinnati because he's underneath Sean McVay, and we're going to see how the Sean McVay coaching tree looks with Taylor trying to coordinate things, Andy Dalton playing quarterback, A.J. Green playing wide receiver. Another thing that's happening on Twitter, at Sports Hub Triad, you can vote on this poll. When you hear the Tomahawk chant, who do you think of first? And we have three options here. Florida State, the Atlanta Braves, and the Kansas City Chiefs. And while I had one tweeter who said the Kansas City Chiefs, overwhelmingly, it's been Florida State and Atlanta getting the votes here. Kansas City has commanded 4% of the vote. Florida State right now is getting 56%. Do you think Braves first before you think about the other options that we're given?
After thought, yeah, I think I do. Because I grew up as a Braves fan in the 90s with Sid Bream and Terry Pendleton and those guys going to the pennants and everything else. And that was really my first exposure to it. So, yeah, I guess I do think
of
the Braves first.
See, me being an ACC guy, Florida State.
They were right there, yeah.
Florida State, when I hear, whoa, whoa, I think FSU. But you can continue to vote on that poll and bring your commentary to this on Twitter, at Sports Hub Triad. We're also taking some of these fantasy football names, too. I'm not a fantasy football guy, but Mike writes in, Baker Mayfield of dreams? I could play along with that. It's Carolina Panthers preseason game number 2 tonight. The Panthers not going to be starting Cam Newton or Luke Kuechly, according to the reporting done by Joe Person and Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic. We're now being joined from the stadium by Joe Person. You can follow him on Twitter, at Joseph Person. When you look at Cam Newton being benched tonight, Luke Kuechly too, is this the new normal for Ron Rivera, how he's going to approach his prominent starters for preseason game number 2? Because in the past, it was preseason game number 2 means you play a half.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously this is Ron Rivera and the medical staff exercising a great deal of caution with those two guys you just mentioned. Obviously Cam coming off the shoulder, and then Luke had the weird hit his first week in Spartanburg, was not in the concussion protocol, but did go down awkwardly after getting hit to the side of the head. You know, it's just, to me, Josh, it's more fodder for the fact that the whole NFL preseason is a charade and it's a joke, and players don't like it, the coaches don't like it, the fans don't like it. Who likes it? I guess the owners, because they get to gouge the public for two home games in August. That this is what you're dealing with. You know, in another situation where the Panthers' two biggest stars won't even get to come out and be seen by fans for like two series.
Do coaches value the joint scrimmages we've seen earlier in the week with the Buffalo Bills more than the preseason games?
Yeah, you can make that case for sure when you're talking about the starting.
Yeah.
Here tonight will be beneficial, as you know, is for guys who are fighting for the number six wide receiver spot, maybe your last special teams guy. And, oh, by the way, the kickers. But when you're talking about the top line guys, yeah, Ron made that point this week that because Cam and because Kuechly both played in the practices with Buffalo, that he felt good about that, and that they got good work there, and it was in a controlled setting against a team who was coached, he was very familiar with and trusted, and they, Rivera felt good that he could trot Cam Newton out there. Sean McDermott felt good he could put Josh Allen out there without fear of significant injury.
Joseph Person's on Twitter at Joseph Person. I want to get to the most important thing here. When you hear the Tomahawk chant, do you think Florida State, Atlanta, or Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, dude, that's Florida State, Atlanta. As a Philadelphia Phillies fan, I remember, God, I'm going to date myself here, but that's okay. I remember the 1993 National League Championship Series. This was two stadiums ago for the Braves. It was in the old Fulton County Stadium. And I was not there. I was watching on TV from Huntington, West Virginia in my first journalism job. But that stadium, that was sort of at the height of it. Heck, I think Deion Sanders might have been making cameo appearances for the Braves at that point. And the organist would start the music, Josh, and then he'd kill it. And it was just the whole stadium doing that chant. And it was like, oh, my God, how is Terry Mulholland ever going to make an out pitching to this lineup in that stadium?
It's excellent stuff. How did the season end up, Joseph Person, in addition to being a great football writer? You could read at The Athletic and on Twitter at Joseph Person. How did the baseball season end up as you being a manager as well?
You're very kind to ask. We took a group of 12-year-olds to Cooperstown, New York. I had the direct and distinct privilege of staying in the barracks with a dozen of those 12-year-old boys, so I got my fair taste of fart jokes and the like. But there was some good baseball played in between, and it was a lot of fun. It's like this tournament is very big tournament up in Cooperstown. Bryce Harper played in it as a kid. All kinds of OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. played with some team from like Louisiana, I believe. So it was good stuff. I appreciate you asking, but we are knee deep in football now. Pop Warner and the NFL variety, and I'm pretty fired up about it.
Joe, you're the best. Thank you for squeezing us in. I really appreciate it.
Sorry I couldn't catch you a little longer, buddy. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, you got it. That's Joseph Person on Twitter, at Joseph Person, and also The Athletic Carolinas. I'm going to make for a great T-ball coach one day. Oh, my gosh. Greg Olson, if you saw the All or Nothing series, the way he takes coaching seriously as a flag football coach, also a Little League baseball coach, Joseph Person, you could hear it right there. He has that same flair.
I never took well to that kind of coaching. I don't know why. It's just something about it being like overly, what's the word I'm looking for here? Overbearing, I
guess. Were you a good athlete?
I played basketball.
That's not what I asked.
Football, too. Yeah, I think it was good.
That's not what I asked.
I blew my knee out senior year of high school, so it kind of ended my career.
It didn't sound like Desmond was the most coachable player.
No, not that. It's just some players are reached in different ways, and I was never the type to be reached by being, insulted or demeaned or talked down to. You know, talk to me as an equal, and we can do this.
Aaron, it sounds like that Dez wasn't that coachable.
Oh no, I would like to coach so I can yell and curse at some kids.
See, see,
good point.
That right there,
love it.
I get it. I don't know if I'd be the yeller and the curser though.
Oh man, I'd curse somebody's kids up and down.
I did well to all kinds of coaching. I was a very coachable player, partly because I wasn't very good.
That's usually what happens.
But no, I busted my ass, though. I was somebody who ended up on the field in whatever he played because first player to show up.
Effort.
Last one to leave. Very coachable. You know?
Effort's overrated nowadays.
That's right. Responding well to coaching. Yeah. If they're hard on you, well, they believe you can take it.
I heard some clips.
Or they're just mean.
Which is fine, too.
I heard some clips of John Gruden preaching effort to his Raiders. I did. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to get you guys ready for this football game, man. I'll tell you what. Desmond Johnson, basketball player here. I'll tell you what. You're somebody that needs to get your shooting arc a little bit higher right now, man. Like, what are you doing at the free throw line? I can't rely on you even a little bit.
I told him he needed to play more defense, and everything would come together.
Well, Doc Rivers, what's going on, man? You don't like this Desmond Johnson character either?
I mean, he's all right. He's not LeBron, but, I mean, you know, he's all right. He's not all right.
Got a little skill. He's not all right. This guy's terrible. He's a terrible player. I can't win with this player.
I can work with terrible. I can't work with you not playing defense, Kawhi! Play some defense out there! I don't understand this. I thought they came over as defensive players. I don't get it.
And see? I can't see any scenario. Doc Rivers is yelling at Kawhi for not playing defense.
Got over there and got comfy, I guess. I don't know.
Never going to happen.
He's back in L.A., man.
No chance that he's getting yelled at for his lack of defense. He mentioned fart jokes. It's National Joke Day. I guess since we have the Kawhi Leonard laugh track, would you like to hear another dad joke?
Sure.
What did Baby Corn say to Mama Corn?
What?
Where's popcorn? Dez, you know what today is? It is Friday?
Yep.
We're not going to see you. I'm not going to see you until another week and a half.
Nope. And then we're going to see each other's faces literally nonstop for about 4 or 5 months straight.
But until then, we need to make the most of the moment in Life Hack Friday!
The champ is here.
This is the Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Okay, I'm shook here on a Friday because we once did the segment where someone blindsided me, telling me things that I do often and didn't realize it. Darren Vaught saying that I just call people by their first name upon seeing them. Hey, Darren Vaught! Or when I meet someone and I'm greeting them, I say, how are you? I'm shaking right now because apparently on our phone line we have somebody who has something to add to the list. An impression, apparently, of something that I do. It is Beth in Greensboro on the line. Beth, give me the impression. Oh, no.
Is it good?
I guess it. Get her out of here. Thank you, Beth.
That was a winner.
So it's just making fun of my laugh?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Just the...
Pretty much.
Spot on, too.
That's it, folks. Have a great week.
You just did it.
I did it. You don't know how your own laugh sounds. All right, then. What a way to close the week. Actually, no, we're not done yet. Let's get to Life Hack Friday.
Pass the 15. Pass the 10. Pass the 5 for the drive. We'll take it to the house.
1, 2, 3.
Good luck following that.
Yeah, that was good. I don't know if I could follow that or not.
I give her credit. If you guys say that's exactly why I laugh,
it was instantly identifiable once she warmed up and got into it. That was pretty good, Beth.
Wow.
Beth from Greensboro.
Thanks, Beth.
Life hacks. Let's see if we can get through them. We'll send you off to your weekend on a good note. You can clear a room for the smokers out there. You can clear a room full of cigarette smoke in about a minute simply by spinning a wet towel around.
Oh, so if you have a towel, just
a wet towel,
wave it over your head
like a helicopter. Yeah, Petey Pablo style. It should clear out the cigarette smoke.
So who am I?
If you get a nosebleed, put cotton on your upper gums right behind the small dent below your nose and press against it hard. Huh. This cartilage is where most of that blood comes from when you have a nosebleed.
Tell Sawyer that.
Did you get nosebleeds?
One time he had a nosebleed while we're doing the show, and one time he said he passed out.
During the
because
show?
Because of a nosebleed? Oh. Not during the show.
Oh, okay, that would be...
So I was worried that I wasn't going to have a producer because my producer was about to pass out due to a nosebleed.
Oh, no. That's never good.
Sawyer will be in your chair Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday
that's
of next
right.
week.
Good luck, buddy. Nah, Sawyer's great.
Over the console.
Nah, Sawyer's great. He'll do a fine job. If you go to sleep after a big meal, I mean, who doesn't, be sure to lie on your left side. Sleeping on your right places your stomach higher, which enables food and stomach acid to go to your throat.
Did you just say dud it?
Excuse me?
Who dud it?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
I heard a D instead of an S there. Ah. Anyway, give me one more to send us into the weekend.
Do you ever get you chewer of pins, you? You got one in your mouth right now.
I chew my pin all the time.
That's the green pin. That's the green pin.
Oh, wait.
We've been looking for that pin all
this
day.
This is your pin.
Not anymore. That's your
pin
now.
Yeah, I'm chewing on it. What do I need? Tell me.
If you accidentally get pin or ink stains on your clothes, rub toothpaste in it, let it dry, then wash. The stain will disappear.
All right. Dez, we'll see you in a week and a half. Enjoy the preseason football, and we'll talk to you on a Monday drive.